Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
It's time once again to talk about the New York Giants and their first 100 years. It's a celebration of 2024, the 100th season of the Giants. Well, you can't get away with talking about the Giants without talking about their championships. And in this episode, we talk about the first championship. 1927 is coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And it's a New York Giants celebration this year, 2024, 100th season, like we said in the intro. And boy, we have got a great episode for you today as we talk about the 1927 season, the third season of the team, and their first championship of the NFL for the Giants. It's got a great story to it, so let's get right into it. The 1927 season is a defining moment in New York Giants' rich history. Fresh off winning a topsy-turvy first few seasons, the Giants, under the leadership of newly hired coach Ed Pottinger, embarked on a campaign of dominance that cemented their place as a rising power in professional football. This edition explores the key factors that fueled the Giants' success in 1927, highlighting their exceptional play, strategic innovation, and the emergence of some great stars that came to the team or were with the team and grew up a little bit. Now, the backdrop of 1927, as we learned in past episodes, the 1926 professional football season was a wild one. Red Grange and C.C. Pyle's original American Football League had gone by the previous year's end, and the death toll of the AFL was the group's champion, the Philadelphia Quakers, getting beaten fairly badly in an exhibition game by a somewhat pedestrian New York Giants team. Now, right before the 1927 season, the league eliminated the financially weaker and generally smaller market teams in the National Football League. So you get rid of basically the entire AFL, those eight teams. You get rid of another 10 teams of the National Football League. And now it's really a big city place to play football. The results were quite evident when you look at the NFL standings in 1926 versus those in 1927, when the franchise listing went from 22 down to 12 teams in the standings. National Football League absorbed many players in a defunct American Football League franchise, and that team was the Grange's New York Yankees that C.C. Pyle owned. Now, the consolidation of the NFL teams following the 1926 season indirectly aided the New York Giants. The Brooklyn Horsemen, well, they folded, but Tim Mara, the Giants owner, strategically kept their charter active. This charter became a valuable bargaining chip when another team, the Brooklyn Horsemen, operated by Bill Carr, sought entry into the league. This time, Mara and he ended up having the upper hand. Now, Mara offered a solution. Lease the Brooklyn Horseman charter to Carr, allowing him to bring star player Red Grange back to the NFL under a new name, the New York Football Yankees. However, to prevent competition with the Giants, the Yankees faced restrictions. Mara only agreed to they would primarily play on the road, with only a few home games strategically scheduled to avoid clashing with the Giants' home schedule. Now, the season would culminate in a particular city championship series with the Giants and Yankees battling it out on a home-and-home format, and C.C. Pyle had wanted this all along, and Mara, probably deep down, wanted it too. The arrangement benefited all parties involved. Mara eliminated a potential rival while ensuring a lucrative rivalry with the Yankees. Carr got his team back in the NFL, and his fans were treated to the return of Red Grange. The restricted schedule ensured the Yankees wouldn't overshadow the Giants in a city championship series, added a unique twist to the season's finale. Now, the resolution of Mara and Dr. Harry March could now focus on building the Giants roster with talent that would compete with the rest of the NFL's best. Now, March's strategy was to solidify the trenches with veteran players to dominate the line of scrimmage. Center Mickey Murtaugh was signed on to return to the lineup once again. And stars like Al Nesser, the famous Columbus Panhandles football family, were added, along with Heck Harvey and a returning talent, Doc Alexander, who served more as than an adequate backup as his medical practice was thriving, as we saw in an earlier portion of this New York Giants 100 celebration. Steve Owen was back for another year. He was another returning lineman from the previous year to further anchor the stability and dominance up front on these big guys. Now, on the ends of the line, the Giants were equally challenging. That Chuck Quergan, and Owen's teammate and former Kansas City Cowboys traveling team, was on one side. And at the same time, a rookie sensation and future Hall of Famer, Cal Hubbard, combated the opposition on the other flank. Now, these terminals were as big as the interior men, and they often bullied the point of the attack from the outside, opening gaping holes for the talented backfield. And that hallmark of that 1927 Giants team was a remarkable balance on both sides of the ball. Offensively, the team was independent of a single player. The Giants boasted a diverse attack, keeping those opposing defenses guessing on the running and short pass plays that were going to be commencing. Fullback Jack McBride emerged as the offensive leader, showcasing his versatility in rushing touchdowns, field goals, passing, and extra points. Yeah, back in those days, the backs were the ones that threw more than the quarterback. The amazing tailback Hinkie Haynes was the lightning to McBride's thunder, creating a formidable tandem in the New York backfield. Blocking in front of them was Mule Wilson, a former Texas A&M gridiron and track star, signed for 27 after playing for the now disbanded Buffalo Rangers the prior year. Wilson was a willing blocker, and his speed and athleticism allowed him to get out ahead of his talented backfield mates to provide more than ample interference to any defenders that had escaped the guys in the interior line. Now, however, the Giants' defense truly set them apart. They led the league in both yards allowed and points conceded, showcasing a suffocating unit that shut down opposing offenses. Their defensive prowess was a testament to their relentless pursuit and disciplined tackling. Head coach Earl Pottinger played a pivotal role in the Giants' success as he emphasized the team-first mentality, fostering a strong work ethic and a dedication to execution. Pottinger's innovative approach included the shift and pre-snap formation to confuse opposing defenses and created running lanes for his backs. The strategic wrinkle kept opponents on their heels and contributed significantly to the Giants' offensive efficiency. Now, the Giants thrived on the collective effort. Running back Jack McBride emerged as the actual offensive weapon. He led the team in scoring, showcasing his power rushing and ability to catch passes out of the backfield. McBride's versatility and consistent play were instrumental in the Giants' offensive success. His leadership on the field presence solidified a place in the critical building block for the burgeoning Giants dynasty. The 1927 Giants season wasn't without challenges, though. A few teams in the league had also increased in talent levels, and their franchises in the previously watered-down star-quality rosters, so that influx of talent helping many different franchises. The 1927 campaign started with a challenging road game against the Providence Steamroller at the Cyclodrome in New York was a more than dominant team throughout the whole contest. Still, the Providence 11 would not give in easily, as evidenced by a low-scoring opportunity in the early part of the contest when the Giants had the ball on the one-foot line but were denied entrance into the end zone. The only touchdown in the game would come a period later in the second quarter on a McBride plunge over the goal line in the second quarter. Now, the New York squad would add a safety later in the period and then hold on to an 8-0 victory over their hosts. The following week, on October 2nd, the Giants traveled to Cleveland and faced the Bulldogs and their new weapon, Benny Friedman. The defenses of both sides prevailed in what would end up being a scoreless draw, and a rematch 2 weeks later would have the Giants, the Road Warriors again, this time traveling to Pottsville, where they dismantled the Maroons 19-0 on great runs by Jack McBride and a scoop and score by reserve Doc Alexander. The only loss and sole tie came in the next game against the Cleveland Bulldogs, a testament to their competitive nature in the young NFL. As we said earlier, they tied Cleveland and Benny Friedman. And after battling for two more periods of scoreless football, the drought was broken in the third quarter when Cleveland's Jinx Simmons found a gap in a New York front and took the leather over the goal line for the game's only score and a 6-0 Bulldogs victory. This inability of the Giants to overcome Friedman and company would motivate Tim Mara to join that team in the offseason and join them with the Giants after they morphed into the Detroit Wolverines. The loss awoke the Giants for the rest of the 1927 season as they dominated the rest of their opposition, reeling off 9 consecutive wins for the rest of their schedule. These games included 2 blankings of the tough Frankfurt Yellow Jackets in a home-and-home series, 13-0 and 27-0. A rematch with Pottsville, which ended in a 16-0 victory for the G-Men, and blanking Ernie Nevers and the Duluth Eskimos 21-0 at home, Providence 25-0 at home, and taking out both Chicago teams, the Cardinals 28-7 and the Bears 13-7, before closing out the season against the crosstown rivals of the Yankees in a 2-game series. 13-0, 14-0, Giants win in both those games. In this era of NFL titles based on the overall league records, the Giants outpaced the 7-2-1 Green Bay Packers and the 7-3 Chicago Bears to be declared the National Football League champions of 1927 at the league meetings after the season ended. This would be the first championship franchise. This would be the first championship for the franchise in just their third year of existence, and 1927 marked a turning point for the New York Giants. It showcased their potential as a powerhouse in the NFL and laid the groundwork for future success. The team's dedication to balance, strategic innovation, and the emergence of a star running back all contributed to their dominant season. The 1927 Giants established a winning culture and a legacy of excellence that inspires generations of New York Giants fans all the way into the modern day. And wow, what a great season that was, and great victories in overcoming those early tie and loss to the Cleveland Bulldogs and Benny Friedman, who would later be their teammate, and probably as a result of those, what he did with his team, the Bulldogs, and later the Detroit Wolverines in the following season. So that is our show for today. We are so glad that you were able to join us for this great celebration of New York Giants' victory in the 1927 season, and we get to preserve that football history, which is all important to us. And you know, we want you to make sure that you check back with us often. You may want to subscribe to this YouTube channel, because in it, you know, we have not only episodes like you just listened to with some great preservation of football history and championship seasons, but we also have some other specials going on. We have a daily quiz of National Football League and top-ranked college teams that will really test your football noggin and see how your knowledge is and your football IQ. And it also helps spread that preservation of football history, which is also important that we don't want to lose. Also, we have other episodes coming up. We're going to be getting into some football fitness, and you're going to get to see my personal journey on some weight loss and getting healthy. And maybe it'll be an inspiration to some of you out there as well. So make sure you join us. And there's always something great to read on pigskindispatch.com, the podcast Pigskin Dispatch, and our Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel. Don't forget, we have books out there too. The World's Greatest Pro Football Team, the 1903 Franklin All-Stars. You can find links on pigskindispatch.com for Amazon to get your copy right away. So until next time, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.